Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Because we have all eaten and we're a bit, so it's going to be a practical class. Amen. It's going to be demonstration and practicals to make sure that we don't. But I could tell that the Spirit of the Lord came down. Amen. And the cups are already getting filled. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the church, I'm sure you have no problem with the fact that we've had church. But there is something we have not had. That is fellowship at the realm of the soul. Amen. So that is where we are coming to. It's not saying that you don't need to go to fellowship or you don't need to church. We're not looking at that. That is guaranteed and assumed. Amen. That we must be under authority. Amen. So you must be in a fellowship, and you must function in that place. Amen. And as a joint, you supply. Amen. But we're moving forward. Hallelujah. You know, so we've had the manifestation at the dimension of the natural dimension. Amen. Because the word of God comes at three levels, isn't it? So we've had the natural, so we're not saying do away with the natural. Amen. That is there. So we must be in fellowship, we must walk in all the things the Lord has shown us. But we also realize that God is raising a body. It speaks about the bride, which is a many-membered body. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, but we are looking at, because we are moving forward, we're looking at the things that make up that body, how we can go on to be part of that body, and because the Lord is also preparing that body, cleansing the body, that He might present unto Himself a glorious church without any spot or wrinkle. And God is saying, now is the time to press in. Hallelujah. So it's the raising of the body is not something that will happen in future. It's happening now. Amen. So that is the emphasis. Amen. So I'm going to draw on the board. Now, you know there are some temples. Again, we're looking at its basic. It's something you know, but it's good to start from the basic. You know about the tabernacle of Moses? The tabernacle of Moses is just a type. It's not the real thing. Amen. It's not the real thing. It's not what God has in mind, but it's something to point to what God has in mind, which is you. Amen. Now, Ephesians chapter 1 says, from the foundation of the world, God chose you to be in Christ. Amen. So, there's another temple, sorry. I'm writing on the board so that those who don't hear me, they at least follow on the board. Amen. So we have the tabernacle of Moses, and then what I call the tabernacle of man. So there are two tabernacles, Moses and you. Amen. So when the Bible talks about the tabernacle in the heavens, it's speaking of you. You are the heavenly temple. It's not something floating in the sky. It is you. Because heaven is within you. Do you understand? You are heaven. Bible says, you know, rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in heaven. Do you understand? Amen. So when he says the temple of the tabernacle was open in heaven, he's speaking of you. The manifestation of what God has done in you. Amen. So there are two temples, Moses and yes. Now this one goes with the Old Testament and this one goes with the New Testament. So just like when Jesus came, he taught in parables. He used natural things to explain spiritual things. So also, the tabernacle or temple of Moses was given to explain you. To explain your functioning. Amen. So the things you see in the tabernacle of Moses, you have to apply to yourself. If not, it's of no use. Amen. Okay. Now, in here we have the physical temple. Here you have a living temple. And in the history of Israel, the most important thing about Israel was the temple, isn't it? That was the whole thing of Israel is the temple. So also in the New Testament, the most important thing to God is you and Zion. Amen. So you will say Zion. Okay, well, let me amend that a bit. Okay, let me leave it. So, it's Zion. Now, Zion is, it says, in my Father's house there are many mansions, many temples, many dwelling places. So, what God is doing is that he's raising temples. God is not building churches. I don't know if I can overemphasize that enough. God is not building churches or ministries or, you know, whatever it is. He has a passion. And the passion is that he must build his house. Say, I will build my house. Or you say, I will build my church. It's still the same thing. And the gates of hell will not prevail. So the most important thing God is doing now is to build his house, which is me. It starts from me. And when God says build my house, he's speaking of the soul. Because the soul is the bride of Christ. That is the prize of God. That's the most important thing to God because it is his dwelling place. Now the scripture says, these people say, the time has not come to build the Lord's house. And God said, if you don't build my house, I'm going to do something to you. So, if you don't build God's house, if God loves you, he will do something to you to draw your attention. I take that again. If God loves you, yes. If God loves you, and he loves us in Africa, we don't have electricity, we don't have. Then he's going to do something to you to draw your attention to the fact that you are a wayward son. You are a prodigal son. That you've left off what you should do, and you are doing your own thing. Amen. So the Bible says, if God does not rebuke you, then you are a bastard, isn't it? So, that's why he's going to send us tribulation. So we're not afraid of tribulation. Because tribulation will work at patience. And patience will perfect our faith, isn't it? So we're heading for tribulation. We're heading for tribulation. You know, so next year is going to be worse than this year. And it's going to build up. And he's doing that because he knows that when there is tribulation, the people of God will run to him.
Oh yeah. Hallelujah.
Because if everything is going well with you, you forget God. So say he will make holes, he will do this, so that they will realize that something is wrong and then come to God and then go back to the real issue. So the real issue is that God is interested in his house. Say, my house is lying waste. Yes. Well, of course, you can apply into the natural house, church, ministry, blah, blah, blah. All those things are okay, but that's not the main issue. The main issue is you. It's your soul.
Yes.
Now, when we talk about soul, okay, fact, I come there. Of course, in between, you have David. In between, you have David. To bridge the difference. The tabernacle of David. Okay? So in this one, there are three compartments. But this one, there was none. Now, what is it that happened? The veils have been broken down. The veils have been broken down in the tabernacle of David. So, and then here you have the ark and then the glory. Of course, the ark is here, but the access is restricted. The access is restricted. But there is a better tabernacle.
Yes.
It's a prepared of God in the heavens.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Okay. And when I was in Gabon, I don't like to use the word visitation because I don't see spirits like some people see. There's some of our brethren who see spirits. But God began to show me some things. We won't have time to discuss it, but you know that there are four dimensions. These are the four dimensions of the soul. Brother Seth will draw the circles. You know the circles, you are familiar with that. Okay, so we will still have those circles. And then, so we can also draw these other ones. Okay, let's use brighter colors. So we can have three other circles to represent the Father, the Son, or Christ, and then the Holy Ghost. But the target, the most important part, is Christ. I want you to understand Christ. Now, the doctrine of Christ is something that is quoted with a lot of religion because we are naturally afraid. We are naturally, where we have the attitude that we feel that we kind of put ourselves down when we talk of the doctrine of Christ. But the truth of the matter is that the Bible says that from the foundation, God chose you in Christ.
Yes. Christ.
Right from the beginning, foundation of the world, however far that your mind can take. However far, you know, that's when God chose you to be in Christ. And like we mentioned, that is always a stumbling block, because someone says, if God chose me to be in Christ, I go and play football, I do anything I want, then at the end I will end up in Christ. No. He chose you in Christ and said, if you want to be in Christ, there's a way you follow to go to Christ. If you drive on that road, you end up in Christ. If you go any other way, you are not going to end up in Christ. So we don't have problem with ultimate reconciliation. Okay? And we're not preaching that we are God or anything, but the Bible says that He chose us to be in Christ. And I'm very happy to receive that. Amen. Amen. Now, who is Christ? Christ is the eternal Son of God. Do you understand? This is where you are. And as I always say, when you go up 30,000 feet above Dubuque, you don't see any house. Not even talk of human being. And then if you go much, much higher, then you won't even see the earth. The earth becomes a dot. Do you understand? And God said, you are part of the Godhead. You are not God. We are not God. We are man. But God is taking man into into the Godhead, into Christ, to be a joint heir with Christ.
Yeah,
and that is something worth fighting for.
Yeah.
It's something worth dying for.
Yeah.
It's something that Paul said, I have suffered the loss of all things for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord.
Amen.
I don't know if you understand that. So it's something that should take your passion. That is everything you have. You, so we're pressing. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining daily. You know? You say you're forgetting the things, and every day you are pressing on. Because it's something worth dying for. Do you understand?
Yeah.
There is no price that can be exchanged for this. That way it says that, what shall it profit a man to gain all the world? What is the world compared with this?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So that is the high calling. That's what God has called us to. To be in Christ. Hallelujah. And that is bigger than ministry. It's bigger than church. It's bigger than anything your mind can conceive. So that is a vision and a focus we must realize. That there is a melting point, and that melting point is Christ. And in Christ there has to be one head. So all those who are coming into Christ must come headless. All those coming to Christ must come headless. You know, so it's like in the factory, you process you. The end product is that there must be no head, so that they take you and fit you into Christ. If you have a head, you're not good enough. That's a good way to understand it. Amen. Well, while we are there, the problem of man itself, what I call the self-God, I think that will go in red. What I call the self-God. Self-God. And then maybe at this point we can go further and look at the soul. The soul has will, as you know, has emotion, has desire, and it has a mind. Three of them are represented by animals. So this one is by a lion. So there's a lion here. Do you understand? There's a lion in you. How many people know that there's a lion here? Has it manifested today? Has the lion manifested today? Okay. Did it manifest yesterday, the lion? Was any lion-like
activity yesterday. Okay. Then there's an eagle here. An eagle in you. Then the big one. You know the big one? This is a big man. Hallelujah. The will is committed to death. To ensure that self remains God. Unto death.
Yeah.
I said the will in me is committed unto death to ensure that I remain the God of my soul. I want you to understand that.
Oh Jesus.
And it's not a very light thing.
Define committed unto death.
Okay, the scripture says the carnal mind is enmity. When you say that word enmity means is hostile.
Hostile.
Yes.
Aggressively.
Well, exceedingly abundantly, superabundantly hostile unto God.
Yeah.
That's the way Paul would say it. Exceedingly abundantly. And more abundantly, exceedingly hostile to God. That won't even describe it. That is, Jesus said, "Not my will."
That's right.
But thine be done. If you think it's easy, God will put you in a situation, and then God gives you something you love, something you want to do. And God said, give it to me. That's when you know it is deep-seated. So that's why he said, if any man worship the beast, if any man worship the beast, he cannot enter into the kingdom. So there are some qualifications that we must have before our soul can enter.
Yes, sir.
Now, so these are the four that, of course, we have the desire. The desire, you know, it's two-faced. That which desires spiritual things, godly things, and that which desires earthly, and things that are lifeless. That not have the life of God. Amen. Now, the way God showed me the soul was like a realm. I don't know how to explain to you. I have to use the word realm because I think it's the word that is less offensive to the people of God. A realm. Realm. R-E-A-L-M. Or a dimension. Okay, however you understand it. It is something in you. Hallelujah. And there are four natures of the soul. Now, these natures of the soul must be changed.
Amen.
Amen.
That is the task of the gospel. That is why we are in this room. And that is why you come to fellowship. And if you are not doing, if you are not achieving that mission, you might as well disband and go home. Because it's of no use. So it's like you have a mission statement. Okay, you have a mission statement. And that is that these four natures must be changed. So Jeremiah 31:31 says, I will make a new covenant. Now the old covenant here didn't address this. You understand? The old covenant couldn't address this. It was in tables, was external. You know, it was in tables. So God said, finding fault with it, says, I will make a new covenant. And he said, when he said, I will make a new one, he set aside the old that he might bring in the new.
Amen.
So we're not even discussing church and ministry. So here I will not just say, well, you want to be here. But why church and ministry is important is the food you eat determines what happens to these four natures. The ministry you receive. Because God has ordained that there are three instruments or three ways in which the soul will be changed. There are three. One is the word. Okay, and you have it, that's the shewbread, you know, hopefully will come there. The table of shewbread. Okay, Jesus said, I am the word. He says, the word of God converted the soul. It's the word of God that will convert these guys. Philosophy will not do it. Theology will not do it. Bible school will not do it. It's the word of God. Not just the word of God. The anointed word of God. Because the shewbread, they must put frankincense on it.
Yes.
Do you understand? After you bake the bread, you put frankincense on it. That's it makes it special. Not just any kind of bread you buy off the supermarket. This is special bread. It has a special aroma, the aroma of Christ. So there are ministries and there are ministries. There are some that have run and have not sent them. Amen. So he said, when the high priest comes into the temple, listening for the bells. If you don't hear the bells, you know the man is dead. Do you understand? So Paul says, you don't need letters or commendation from us.
Right.
Why? Because the Spirit of God ministers to you and witnesses to you that we are the servants of God.
Yes.
So there is a special ministry that God is sending, bringing this word. He said that angels are sending from the east. They're bringing the ministry. So that's one. Now the second ministry that brings change is the blood. When Adam died, the life of God was cut off from the earth. The only way Adam could get life was through the Spirit of God. When Adam died, there was a block. So man continued to die. The little life he had, generally, has been gradually seeping away. The only other way God could bring life into the earth was through the blood. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. So when a man receives, is born again, what he does is that he receives the blood, he receives the life of God. The life of God comes and establishes this contact again. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God witnesses it in your heart that you are. So there's a ministry between your heart and the Spirit of God. So this connection is made. But you see, there's a difference between connection and the point of baptism, when the Spirit of God comes to dwell within the Spirit. So when at the point of baptism, the Holy Ghost comes into the Spirit to dwell. But it has still not addressed the problem. The problem is still
right.
Is still in the soul. But the purpose of the ministry of the Holy Ghost is so that it might begin to bring life to the four dimensions of the soul. The third dimension that brings life to the soul is the Spirit of God. The Bible says there are three that bear witness on earth. You find that in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5. Okay, it says there are three that bear witness on earth. The Word, the Spirit, and the Blood. Those are the three that bring the life of God into the soul. Amen. And the purpose of that is that the life of God might come back to the soul. The soul needs the life and the energy of God. But when the soul sinned and was cut off, it had to function. It had to have life. From where would the soul get life? You use what you have to get what you need. Is it not so? You use what you have to get what you need. And the spiritual dimension was now cut off from Adam. So the only way Adam could receive life was becoming carnal. Was from the carnal realm. And that's how man became carnal. So man is born into the world. The only way he gets happiness, he gets joy, is by relating with carnal things. So someone thinks the latest cell phone that comes into town, because you have the money, you buy it so that you feel happy. The woman at the well, she had how many wives? She was going from one PlayStation to another PlayStation. For the children, isn't that so? One movie to another movie. One tennis championship to another one. One ball game to another. What else? One restaurant to another one. Looking for life. Man lives for life. When you go to a good restaurant, you feel good. You go to Mexico, you gotta lie down in the sun. You travel from Dubuque to Mexico. You go to a strip of sand. You remove your clothes. You leave your clothes in the hotel. And you go and lie down in the sun. And the sun is beating you. And you are drinking fruit juice. And that is holiday for you. And it makes you feel good. You come back and you are walking very tall. I have enjoyed in Mexico. You spend $10,000 to go to Acapulco or to go to Tunisia.
That's right. Come on.
$10,000 to go to Tunisia to lie down in the sun. And sun is beating you. Then when you come out, you walk like a big man. Yeah. You have received energy from the sun.
You brag about it on Facebook.
Yes, Facebook. I went there and you showed the photographs you took. You saw the baboons, you saw the giraffes. Then the young people, they're on Facebook. 4 hours on Facebook doing what? Hello, how are you? LOL. I asked my children, I said, what does LOL mean? It means laugh out loud. I said, what's going on? 4 hours you are on Facebook. You come here, within 5 minutes you are asleep. You're bored.
That's right, come on.
You're bored. That is beastly soul. And the brother says the beastly man is going to hell. Look, the carnal man or the Adamic man is on the way to hell. It cannot go. Because this soul is the bride of Christ. Do you understand? This soul is the bride of Christ. So while you are drying your body in Acapulco, your soul is waiting for you. The house of God is lying waste.
Amen.
You're not doing anything about your soul. You watch the movie 3 hours, Immortals. You change it to Iron Man 1 and 2. Iron Man finishes. You watch, what's the other one? Which was the new one coming now? The Breaking Dawn. All the movies you know, but your soul is lying fallow.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That is the carnal church. That's what the Bible is saying. So, the temple is there. The carnal man, this emotion feeds on blood. The lion here feeds on blood. It gets life when another person is hot. What does the lion do? The lion is carnivorous. It feeds on blood. It takes advantages of other people. You meet someone, say, oh, this one, no, no. Yeah. Now, they have something they call emotional intelligence. Are there any managers here?
Yeah.
Huh? Any managers here?
Sure.
That's a new way of managing men now, emotional intelligence. When you have a staff, you learn how to raise your voice to manipulate them. You know when to bring your voice down to manipulate them. You know when to get angry at the right moment. You know when to smile at the right moment. You know when to frown at the right moment. You're using the emotion to manipulate and control your husbands and staff. That makes you a good manager. This is current.
Yes.
Man is becoming more beastly.
Yes.
And that is it. The emotions. But this emotion is supposed to be saved.
Yes.
To become the emotions of the lion of the tribe of Judah. The Bible said that love is not easily provoked. That is strength. You come to fellowship and someone is angry because he was ill and the brethren did not call him. Now, who are the brethren? The brethren is one particular brother that did not call him. One other sister came to him in the hospital, but that is not the body. The body is one particular brother or sister who must come and visit. If that brother or sister do not visit her, then the body neglected. There is no love in the church. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. That is it. So we're feeding on one another. We're tearing one another. And the Bible says that you do not bring to God and any offering has been torn by wild beasts.
Right.
That is what's happening. So while this is going on, the emotions cannot bring any offering to God.
Right.
Because there is strifing, contentions. And the Bible says, where there is strife and contention, there's what? Every evil work. There is darkness. Spirits come into the fellowship or into the home. Now, one of the things about the Feast of Tabernacles is that it has to do with three fruits: the oil from the olive, that's one. Two is the fig, that's the character of Christ, the fig tree. And then three was the wine. There are three: the olive, the harvest of the olive, the harvest of the fig tree, and then the harvest of the grapes. In Israel, the Feast of Tabernacles, the seventh month, was a time when all the fruits were harvested. The Feast of Pentecost, the second one, is the time when they harvest the wheat harvest. And the first one is the barley harvest. So you have the barley first around February. Yes. And then the second one, April, May, and maybe some part of June. That's Pentecost. And then a few months later, in the seventh month, in October, was when you had the fruit harvest. And that's where we are now, fruits. Now, the soul must be anointed.
Yes.
If you forget anything, don't forget that. The soul must be anointed for marriage. Remember, you are being prepared for marriage unto Christ. So the husbandman is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it. He's waiting for the fruit to come. But the fruit must be prepared before it can be presented. Okay, so the first preparation is with the oil. And we see that preparation in the life of Esther, isn't it? Esther is a type of course, we know the story of Esther. It was a natural story. But again, Esther speaks of the church. But it also speaks of you. It speaks of your soul. Amen.
Yes.
Say amen now.
Amen.
Amen. Good. If you feel like sleeping, just wake up and walk around and then come back. It's accepted. Okay. So we're talking about Esther. Esther couldn't just walk to the king. You cannot walk to the king. Your soul must be anointed. So there is such a thing called the anointing of the soul. I know you will not see it in your Bible, but it's there in between. There is something called the anointing of the soul. Hallelujah. Now, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the anointing of the Spirit. The Spirit is anointed. The Spirit is brought back into the realm of the Spirit. Do you understand that? When Adam sinned, his spirit, his soul, and his body fell from the realm of the Spirit. The life of God was no longer coming to him. So God must bring Adam back to the Spirit. And the first to be taken is the spirit that is taken up at the baptism. The spirit is brought. That's what you call the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is the first fruit. The Bible said that we have received the first fruit of the Spirit. But our body is still awaiting adoption. But your body cannot be adopted without the soul. That is the order. So the order of resurrection now is that the soul must also be adopted into the glorious liberty of the sons of God.
Amen.
And when the soul is brought into the realm of the Spirit, the body will follow.
Hallelujah.
That is the order.
Hallelujah.
Spirit, soul, and finally, the body. Now, many of us are waiting for the body to change without the soul changing. Do you understand? So right now, your soul must be changing. Your emotions must be changing. The desires must be changing. Hallelujah. We must start desiring the things that have the life of God. That's a very good way to remember. The test is, anything that doesn't have the life of God, I will not desire it. And that's going to be very serious. Are we willing to pay the price? I will obey you, Lord. I will do what you say, Lord. I must go forward. I can. Okay, God bless you very well. So, are we going to apply that now?
Hallelujah.
Can we apply that song now? We will only go forward to desire the things that have the life of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the priest must not eat anything that is dead of his own, or that is strangled. Leviticus 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. You see all those dimensions. Now, if a man comes to you and doesn't have the life of God, don't eat of him. I don't pray about it.
Amen.
I don't pray about it.
Hallelujah.
I have my test. I check it. The test is in my spirit. And I'm checking, does he have the life of God? Not just the life of God, but it must have the current life of God.
Hallelujah.
This building was produced by the life of God. I hope you know. Huh? Presbyterian Church. That was the first dimension. Hallelujah. But the life that he has cannot satisfy my longing soul. Amen.
Amen.
So it's of God, but it's not for me. Well, you can decide this for you, fine. That's your level. But I'm not going to remain at that level. Hallelujah. There is something better.
Amen.
Amen. So if a man comes to you, you have to check what kind of life does he have.
Amen.
The things that you are going to join yourself to, does he have the life of God?
Amen.
The things in the world will rather take the life of God from you. And Bible says, don't share your oil.
Hallelujah.
You work so hard to get this oil, don't let it just go like that. You must keep your oil. Because it comes hard. Amen.
Amen.
So you rather go with those who have oil so that they can give you a little bit of their own. You can tap their own oil. Amen. So we must desire. Bible says don't eat of unclean animals. Don't desire them. But we find that we desire the things that don't have the life of God, that are lifeless. And that is a bad habit. God says you must break it. You must get away from it. How about the mind? The mind can want, the ego can wander so far away from God, you know. Proud, vaunted, you know, high minded. But it must be brought to the obedience of Christ. How do you bring the mind into subjection? It must be done daily.
Hallelujah.
It must be done daily. To bring the word, to browbeat the mind and submit it unto the will of God. You know, so, I mean, you can go on and on, but these are the different dimensions of the temple of God that needs to be addressed. And we, once in a while we'll talk about it. It's a fancy subject and we move on. What do we move on to? We go back to carnal business, satisfying the flesh. The flesh is ruling the soul. And any soul that is ruled by the flesh cannot qualify as a bride of Christ. Because it doesn't have the life of God. The flesh is the reign of the devil. The Bible uses the word the prince of this world. It is a title that is given to him of God, that God has not taken from him. You read in the old time, it says Queen Elizabeth, whatever, or Prince Arthur, so and so and so, King of Great Britain, Scotland, Prefect of Spain and Portugal. Each of those titles go with power. They go with privileges. They go with treasures and riches. It go with many estates.
Yeah.
Do you understand? And God says the devil is the god of this world.
Yeah.
We are in his territory. Although it's a temporary territory, but it's recognized by God that this is his territory. Hallelujah. The physical world belongs to the devil for now. How will the devil lose his territory? You and I have to take it from him. We are not of this world, but he has given it to us. He said the heaven and the heavens belong to God, but the earth he has what? He has given to the children of men. Hallelujah. So the Bible says an angel is going to come and bind the devil. And that brings me to what the Bible was saying the other day. We are not teaching ourselves to break down the power of the devil in this world. We don't teach our children to destroy the works of the devil. Rather, we teach them to be friends with the world.
Yes,
how can you be the friend of something that wants to destroy you?
Amen.
The world as it is now is hostile to God and hostile to anything that is associated with God. Yet you want it to be your best friend. We love the world. Is anybody here who doesn't love the world? Bible says, love not the world or the things in the world. But you need the world. So what you do? You use the things of this world, yet not abusing it. That's what Paul says, isn't it so?
Right.
You use the things in the world. When you go to college, it's so that you get a degree so you can preach the gospel. When you're a lawyer, you use your law degree to dismantle all the bad decrees that are made in America.
Uh-huh.
That's why you're a lawyer. If you're a doctor, you go put you there so you can preach the gospel and destroy the works of the devil.
Amen. Amen.
Not to get lost in the system.
Right.
So we need to change our philosophy.
Yeah.
We must take over the system. Well, yes, the devil is there, but God is saying, we are not going to run. We are going to go out and meet the devil and take over the system and bind the devil. Then how can you bind the spirit you submit to? That's the first law of warfare. Number one. When the Indians wanted independence from Britain, the first thing they did, they burnt all British clothes. That's the first thing they did. They burnt all British clothes. They brought it and burnt it. They started wearing made in Indian clothes. Indian cotton. They started wearing Indian cotton. They were no longer buying clothes from England. They make their own clothes, wear their own clothes, to establish their independence. How about you, America? In Britain, the roads are small. You have wide roads. In Britain, the houses are small. You have big houses. Anything America did, you did the opposite. In this country. Why are you looking at me? That's true. To establish their independence, you did everything the British did opposite.
That's right.
You know so? That is a law of warfare.
Amen.
You want to bind the devil, yet you everything the devil does you do like this. You must dress like priest of God. The men must dress like men, women must dress like women. Men must be men in their house, women must be women in their houses. We don't cross borders. It is a homosexual spirit that wears trousers. That means the women to put on pants. Say, go and ask God that that is what the brother said. That it is homosexual spirit.
Yeah.
Say amen now.
Amen.
Okay, you're not convinced. Why they do that is to break down the gender barrier. A man says, I'm a woman. He is a woman. It's called gender. Gender is different from sex. Sex is biological. Gender is functional. So when you go now to any company that is antichrist, they don't write sex, they put gender. Has anybody seen that? You feel the form? No, don't talk about sex. It's discriminatory. It's biased. It's manipulative. You say gender. Because it may be biologically male, but functions as a woman. So what is important is the gender, not sex. What is that? So she's physically a man in body, but is wearing men clothes. That is antichrist theology. And in the church, everybody is following, and you see the sisters are becoming, are walking like men. Brother and sister are dressed the same way. You don't know his wife, you don't know his husband. It is confusion. It is confusion, brethren. I will need to repent. I thought you would say amen. Men must be men. In character. In university, we say when you give you a degree, we'll give you a degree in character and learning. So here, we must be men in character and practice. Men must be priests at home.
Amen. That's right.
Spiritually order your home. There's a soap opera called Simpsons. Do you know it? The Simpsons. It's cartoon. It's not cartoon. That man, the man is a pauper. He's a prophet. They created the image that the man is a no do good. They are driving at something. It's an image. They are attacking the symbol of the man. And Hollywood began to do it in 1920. It didn't start today. Hollywood began to destroy the male character, the husband role, in 1920 when film started in America.
Right.
Now they have taken over Hollywood. Man is nothing. So you don't need a man in the home. You don't need a man in the home. Single parenthood. The woman is the father, his mother. The generations of people that are training now have never heard anything called God. They say God, is a wicked creature. You know what they teach? God is a wicked creature. Because they have broken down the role of the fathers. And they are breeding what the Bible calls beast.
Yes.
A beast is a man who is not submitted to the Spirit of God. And neither indeed can be. And the women have risen up to assert that certain. And it started from the bedroom. Women liberation. It started with the sexual revolution in America. 1959. There was this project called Masters and Johnson. Does anybody remember that? Masters and Johnson. Good. They began to build. And right now they have taken over the whole, everywhere it's gone. But it's not gone here. Hallelujah. Say amen. it should not be gone here. Amongst us, women must be women. We need mothers in Israel. Hallelujah. And the mothers should teach the younger women. But the mothers are like men. So how will a man teach the younger women how to be a woman when the mothers are not women? That is the problem.
Yeah.
In those days, they used to teach the daughters how to knit, how to bake. How many young girls know how to knit or bake or do all those feminine things? Rather, they teach them how to be like men. So, what has happened is a revolution over time, gradual, but the devil knew what he was looking for. He wanted to have a generation that do not know God. A generation that do not have the life of God. And the children are confused. They don't have any role models. Who are the role models of the young children? A man called Michael Jackson. A man called Michael Jackson. Yes, he's a god. Who are the Christian role models? So the children are growing up, they don't know what to look at. Somebody, they were showing us the other day, somebody says, I'm an animal. I believe in an animal. I believe in natural selection. I'm a beast.
Yeah.
So that is the generation that is coming. So we the men, we must take over our homes and be the priest and order the home. Hallelujah. And then the mothers must be mothers. Teach the young girls to keep house. You know what the Bible says? How to love their husbands. And, you know, have the order in the home. And then the young men, you know, it's also said what they should be. So we must begin to go back to those values. Now, Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So when you make one allowance, every other one will go. You know? So we are looking at raising a new priesthood. And the priesthood must address the man. Must address the emotions. Must address the will. The desire and the mind. Different dimensions of the will. Now, to be able to close, I wanted to talk about atonement. Although I've mentioned part of it. Now, on the day of atonement, the Bible tells us that there must be some specific activities that must take place. So, I don't know if we can turn to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, chapter 23, is the chapter where you have all the description of the Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Leviticus chapter 23, yes, describes all that I'm saying. So you can look at it later at home. Chapter 23, chapter 23, Leviticus. Now, reading from verse 23 till up until 44, it describes the various aspects of the Feast of Tabernacles. The first one describes the blowing of trumpets. And the Bible says that a trumpet is a message that God sends to his people. Okay, if you want to know about trumpets, look at Numbers chapter 10. It tells you about everything about trumpets. Okay? Numbers 10 tells you everything you need to know about trumpets. It says when you blow with the trumpet in a certain manner, it is for going to war. When you blow in a certain manner, it is to gather the camp together. When you blow in a certain manner, it is to gather all the leaders together. Okay? So a trumpet is a message from God to the people of God. And each time the people of God meet, there is a trumpet blowing. In this conference, there is a trumpet. There is a message that God has sent. Amen. So when you come, you're asking God, what is the message you have for me?
Yeah.
You get that message and you start running with it.
Yeah.
The Bible says, if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who may prepare himself for battle?
Yeah.
So the sound of the trumpet must be very clear.
Mm-hmm.
You say, make the vision plain.
that he may run that readeth it. When you read the vision, you understand what it is saying, you start running. Amen. And there's a clear trumpet that God is bringing now, and that is to say, we must move forward. We must move beyond the Pentecostal experience. Amen. We must go beyond church business. We must go beyond church ceremony. And we must begin to look inward. Because that is the offering that God requires of you. Amen. Say amen now. Now, let me say something about offering. Okay, I'm going there. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I'm doing all this so that you don't sleep. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Offerings are very important. And the Bible gives us five different types of offerings. The first offering is the sin offering. Sin offering, S-I-N. Sin offering. And Jesus Christ was made our sin offering. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Because the principle says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission for sin. Amen. There has to be blood for the sin to be remitted. Okay, and Jesus came as a perfect sacrifice. And this is the trick. And many of us don't know the trick. If you want to survive, you must learn all the tricks in the book.
Yes.
I want to give you one. Now, the Bible says, they took blood and touched a physical temple, a physical wood, and the wood became holy. Is it not so? Moses built the tabernacle and he sprinkled blood. When he did that, what happened? The temple became holy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Hebrews ask you a question. If the blood of bull and goat can make a physical block and wood to be holy, how much more?
Hallelujah.
Your mind.
Hallelujah.
Do you get the trick? If you get that trick, you go and make another second poster and print it in your house. Say, devil, bye bye. You know, you put the first one. First one was for temple. That you are the temple of God. The second poster you put in your house is devil, bye bye. That means that the blood of Jesus can sanctify my mind. Do you understand? So as you're walking along the road, you are applying the blood of Jesus to clean this temple. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That is power. That is power.
Hallelujah.
You don't believe it. That is power.
Hallelujah.
And there's nothing the devil can tell me to change my mind.
Hallelujah.
I am holy by the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
So when I wake up in the morning, I say, I apply the blood of Jesus to this temple.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Anytime I remember, I apply the blood. The blood, one of my brothers said, the blood of Jesus cannot finish. It cannot get exhausted. Why? Apply it.
Okay.
Every day apply the blood.
Hallelujah.
The more you apply the blood, the more it's growing. Hallelujah. But many of us do not apply the blood of Jesus. We use philosophy. We argue with the devil. The devil does not understand English language. He understands the blood. Because the blood of Jesus is light. How many people in this room have seen the blood of Jesus? Please, if you have seen the blood, can you raise your hand? Have you seen the blood of Jesus physically with your eyes? But you believe it's there. Hallelujah. It is there. The blood of Jesus is spirit of life. It is a spirit of light. Hallelujah. And it covers. It covers you. And the blood of Jesus gives life. So if you don't have life, all you need to do is to draw life from the blood of Jesus. In fact, the Bible says you must eat that blood. So it says you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life. I know your problem. Your problem is that how can I drink the blood of Jesus? That was the problem of Paul, of James and John and all the brethren. Say, how can this man give us of his blood to eat? I don't have that problem. He says drink and I'm drinking. Hallelujah. You must partake of that blood. There is life in that blood. Hallelujah. That is the sin offering. And you know, the blood, you find it at the brazen altar. The first thing you find there is a blood covenant. It's there. Upon your heart. Upon your soul. And that blood continues to walk and to cleanse. The Bible says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Isn't that so? And the blood of Jesus does what? Even when you are sleeping, even when you are in sin, even when you are in error. Do you understand? Even when you are in error, the blood is cleansing. The devil is telling you now, I know the sin you committed yesterday. How is it his business? How is it the devil's business, the sin I committed yesterday? It's between my God and myself. And all I need to do is say, my little children, do not sin. However, if you sin, we have an advocate. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from, not just cleanse, makes you holy. Amen. Makes your mind holy. Amen. Makes your emotions holy. Makes your desires holy. Guys, this is the temple. Cleanse the temple with the blood. Hallelujah. You are the priest. Apply it.
Thank you, Jesus.
When you see something that is not good, apply the blood of Jesus.
Yes, yes.
If you fall into error, apply the blood. That's why you are the priest. Apply it in your heart.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. You don't need to go to meet brother so and so in your room, whether you're a little child, whoever you are, apply the blood.
Yes, right.
Hallelujah. That is the sin offering. And Bible says, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And when Jesus, he said, I'm going to my Father and your Father. My God and your own God. Hallelujah. So he has gone to appear in the presence of God for us. We need to apply and appropriate and receive, apply to yourself, the benefit of the ministry of Jesus. He said, he ever liveth to make intercessions for you. When you wake up in the morning, claim all the intercession Jesus has prayed for you. Amen. So I receive all the benefit of that ministry. Amen. And I destroy all the works of the devil. The devil will run away from you. Because you become a demon destroyer. We do not know how to use our weapons of victory. That's why we are defeated. We are not operating like priests. We operate like Hollywood stars. We have the mentality of Hollywood stars. A priest brings offering. That's how you know a priest. He brings offering. How many people are priests in this room? God made you to be a priest. God constructed you so that every thought, every emotion, every desire, every manifestation of your will is an offering. That's the bad part, but it's the potentially good one. Hallelujah. And the devil is using you as a priest in his temple. I hope you know that. That's the work of the soul. Serving in the temple of the devil. They took the cups from the temple. But Jesus said, bring me the cups. They brought the cups. And they began to use it to serve in the temple of Dagon. Hallelujah. But God is not bothered with that, because he knows that that is a wrong use for the vessel he has constructed. So he is sending a ministry to recover the lost vessels.
Amen.
Amen. I thought you would be shouting.
Amen.
God is sending a ministry to recover you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Bible says that wherever a tree falls, there is light. Do you understand that? If you are a priest in the temple of the devil, when you get to the temple of God, you become a proper priest. That is, you will now express yourself. And what is that expression? To bring pleasure to God. Hallelujah. So that every thought of your heart, every desire, every manifestation of your will, everything in your mind will be an offering to God. Hallelujah. Worship is not when you sing. Worship is what you are. Hallelujah. Worship is who you are. What you are. Hallelujah. You don't worship. You are worship. Hallelujah. So the people of God have been made not to see themselves to be who they are. So the first offering is that sin offering for sin. Second offering is what the Bible calls a trespass offering, which has to do with relationships. Trespass offering was for relationships. If you trespass against your neighbor, you will do so and so and so and so. Amen. And in the house of God, there are lots of trespasses. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
Say amen. In the house of God, there are. But in the Dubu Fellowship, there's no trespass.
Amen.
It's a perfect fellowship.
Amen.
Sister Sandy, isn't it so? In this fellowship, it's a perfect fellowship. In the Dubu Fellowship, it's a perfect fellowship. There is no need for trespass offering. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, if there is trespass offering, if there is trespass, what do? You bring an offering for it. Hallelujah. Say amen. If your brother trespasses against you, what does he say? Go to your brother and make peace. You didn't say go to your brother and tell him his fault.
No.
There are two different things. You're not going to your brother to tell him this is your fault. You're going to win your brother.
Yeah.
So you are going to be redemptive. And he who goes to make peace must not seek apology. When you go to make peace, you are not going there to seek or to demand apology. Bible said that God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world. He didn't come to say you must apologize to me. He came and he laid down himself. He laid down his life. Hallelujah. And by that, he won our love. Hallelujah. Amen. The more spiritual should win the less spiritual. Hallelujah. The stronger must become the foot mat for the weaker. Amen. That is the rule. Amen. In the home, the more spiritual person is the one that says, I am sorry. I didn't say, I didn't hear any amen. In the home, it is the more spiritual person, not the one that's correct, but the one that is more spiritual, that says, I am sorry. That includes parents to children. That includes parents. You need to tell the children and say, I have failed in doing so and so and so. We need to tell the children, we have not been priests. We have not been prophets. We have not acted as the kings, the rulers at home. That's how to win the children. That's what God said, I should say. If you want to win your children, you must apologize to them. That's the way to set them free. Say, I failed. I'm very sorry. And you go your way. You have done your own. When your obedience is complete, God will restore the years of the canker worm. Hallelujah. I thought I would hear amen. Hallelujah. That is part of the trespass offering. Hallelujah. We have life. There is something called the principle of laying on of hands. That is the principle of representation. Obama, he stood up on January 20th or so. What was that his name? Barack, something something, Obama. Swear, I do swear, to be the president of America. To uphold the constitution. The moment he finished, he became a new individual. He became the United States of America. Anything he did, the United States have done. Anything he did, it was the US that have done it. Whether you like him or you don't like him, you can only talk after 4 years. That is called the principle of representation. The principle of representation. And the principle of transference of spirits and authority. So there are authorities that God has put. In the home, the parents are the authorities. They stand for the home. In the church, the leaders are also authorities. And also in our homes, we are the authority. If in your home you are born again, you can stand for your family. He says, you will be saved and your household. It is a principle of representation. Hallelujah. So you can stand and say, Lord, I am standing for the sin of my family. And I ask you, O God, to save. You can also stand for your country. Say, I stand for the United States of America and I speak this word. Because as a priest, God will recognize your words. There are certain things I cannot do, but only you can do. Because God God respects you as a priest, standing for the people of the land. Hallelujah. That is the principle of authority. If you have children that are wayward, no problem. They'll be wayward because you have allowed them. If you stand and you say that none of these children will be lost to the devil, they cannot be lost to the devil. Because you have authority. The words that you speak, they are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. So you tell the children, you must serve God. Either willingly or by force.
The words that I have spoken must follow you. And that those words will speak and minister to you. Wherever they go, the words that as you pray for them, those words will be ministering to you. Those are principles of spiritual warfare. Why do you think you stand and you pray? Say, I rebuke you, devil. Who are you? Who are you? You stand because you are representing Christ. When you say in the name, that means you are praying in the nature of Christ. Because you are submitting to Christ, then God will begin to walk with your word. Amen. Hallelujah. So you can rebuke the spirits in the name of Jesus and they will believe. Amen. So also you can stand for your children, for your country. That's why God put you here. We are too apologetic in some measures. You need to stand and say this and this will not happen. Back in Nigeria, there are some situations we say this man will not be president of this country, and there is no negotiation. He will not be by our word. Say amen, huh? By our word, by the decree of the watchers, such and such a man will not come to such and such an office. Because if he comes, it will affect the gospel of Christ. We are not Democrats, we are not Republicans, we are sons of God. We have ruled. And because we have ruled, it must be so. That is spiritual authority. You use it in your home, you use it in your country, in your state, in your school, in the community, even where you work. You need to stand up and say, this and this policy will not be, because it will not serve righteousness. Yeah. There are some men that come there, you pray them out of office. They get transferred and thrown out. Hallelujah. No amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Spiritual authority. That's why you are here. The church must arise, brethren. It took only one man to chase the devil. Do you know that man? Jesus Christ. One man. One man. Hallelujah. How many of us are here? We can determine what happens in this country. No amen. Is that true? Can we determine what happens in this country? You are not quite convinced. Hallelujah. That's part of the trespass offering. Standing in the gap and representing your people. Hallelujah. The scripture says that the children of the believing woman are sanctified. Do you understand?
Yes.
The husband is not believing. The wife is a believer. Because of her stance, her children are holy. God is giving you the key. We are complaining. Our back is on the wall. Oh, this is happening because we have refused to use the instruments of war God has given to us. And he was saying yesterday that God says we must go on the offensive. And God says stop running. Hallelujah. Say amen now. Stop running. Stop complaining. Stop complaining. Raise your hand up. This is happening. Use your weapon. He told Moses, what is it in your hand? Stop complaining. What do you have in your hand? Stretch it out. Hallelujah. When the man stretched it out, you see it divided. Hallelujah. You see it divided. and the past
on dry ground.
Our children will pass on dry ground. Hallelujah. Our families will pass on dry ground. Hallelujah. If we will stand as priests.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We stand as priests. Say, this will not happen.
Amen.
This will not happen by our authority. Hallelujah. He says, if any two of you shall agree concerning that which you ask, whatever you bind on earth, oh, you bind in heaven.
Hallelujah.
Whatever you lose on earth, we'll be losing in heaven. We have authority, but we're not using it. Hallelujah. We need to rise up, brethren. Hallelujah. And begin to stand and bring life. Now, it is true, darkness is going to come. But it is also true that the church will also arise at the same time. That's what the Bible says. Great darkness will cover the people, and gross darkness. But the Lord will also arise.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. It is at midnight that the sun will be manifested.
Amen.
It was at midnight in Egypt that he brought his son out. Hallelujah. So, yes, America is getting dark. I look around, I see pumpkin skin. I see devil worship all over the place. Hallelujah. Devil worship all over, I see. But somebody needs to stand. I begin to rebuke. Do you know you can pray and God will close all those smoking houses? You can pray and God will close them down. We've done it before. We said, God, this restaurant must close. When we pass, we cause it to die. This business must close. Because it is encouraging wickedness. Hallelujah. Jesus said, these three, no man eat of you from today. And he went on. By the time he came back, it was dry from the roots. Hallelujah. That is authority. And God, we have, there's so much authority in this room. You know the scriptures, you know everything. But at the time of war, you shoot your weapon. And you're complaining. You're complaining. What are you, who will do it? God says, what is it in your hand? Hallelujah. Do you hear the sound of the trumpet? Loud and clear. Hallelujah. Stretch it out. And the sea will dry up. Hallelujah. What was impossible will become possible. Do you know God can reverse all the laws that they have made that are oppressing you? Do you know it's possible? Hallelujah. It's possible. God can create the situations that it was situations that we are created. The Satanists created those situations. They used signal cases. The abortion case, that young lady, that was the first abortion case they used. They got the Supreme Court judgment. Just one case. And it opened the door.
Yeah.
They used the creation, one, isn't it also? The trial. That was just one case. Use it and open the door. You too, find another case. You use it and close the door.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. It takes a people who are determined to break down the power of the devil. God is not going to do it until he is sure you are determined. He is sure that you are determined.
Determined,
yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I think we have to close now. You know, maybe when we come back, we will. Maybe tomorrow. Okay. You know. So that is the trespass offering. And it is the people. That is our life. Now, the next offering is the burnt offering. The burnt offering. So,
So we have the sin offering. Two is the trespass offering. Third is the burnt offering. Five is the meat offering. Sorry, four, the meat or the fellowship offering. And then five is the most important, the peace offering. You have the sin offering, trespass offering. The third one is the burnt offering. The fourth one is the meat or the fellowship offering. And then the last one, the most important, is the peace offering. Hallelujah. The burnt offering is a consecration offering where they bring the animal and everything is burnt. They wash with water and everything is burnt. And usually the peace of the burnt offering, the fire doesn't go down. That is burnt all through the night. It's burnt all through the night. Hallelujah. And the ninth speaks of the spiritual warfare, speaks of the resistance, speaks of the difficulties, speaks of the flesh, the carnality, you know, and all that it represents. And God says your offering must be offered all through the night. Even when it is difficult, God expects you to bring your offering. So Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? That you offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Who is the sacrifice? Who? We are the offering. Man is the sacrifice. I'm not taking the place of Christ, but I am in the nature of Christ. Hallelujah. So I give myself as an offering. Hallelujah. So what does scripture say? That they not only gave of their money, but they first of all offered themselves to the Lord. Hallelujah. So you give God everything. But before you do that, you give God first your heart. Hallelujah. So you give God all. In the New Testament, you give God everything. You don't pay God off. Say, God, this is your tithe. I've given you what belongs to you. The rest is for family holiday in Tunisia. What belongs to you is 10%. God, here is your 10%. It's okay for you. Now the rest is for me to enjoy as I wish. That is slave mentality. Did you hear that? It is slave mentality. Hallelujah. It is a mentality of rebellion. Hallelujah. Because the Bible said that you are bought with a price. Yeah. If you are bought with a price, everything that you own belongs to the person that bought you. And the Bible said there is nothing that you have that you did not receive. You say, I worked hard for it. It's my sweat. Hallelujah. Who gave you the strength to work hard for it? Who gave you the health to work hard for it? Hallelujah. So the Bible says, freely you have received, freely you give. So God expects you to give all. All that you have belongs to God. That is the whole burnt offering. The skin, the inward parts, both the clean one and the unclean one, you wash it with water and will give to God. So David said, there is nothing in my heart that you don't know of.
If I go to hell, you make your bed there. If I go to heaven, it is your throne. Where can I go from you? Hallelujah. There are some young people who are running away from God. Say, we want to have a good time in Hollywood.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Have news for you. When you get to Hollywood, someone will touch you at his back. I say, hello. You turn, it is God. In Hollywood. Hallelujah. God will meet you where you think God will not be. That's the place God will save you from.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
And the Bible says, Moses said, he told Pharaoh, we shall not leave even one hoof for you. Everything is going.
Amen.
And I want to declare by the word of the Lord that all the children that he has given to us, we are going with them.
Yes.
Did you say amen?
Amen.
All the children that he has given to us, they are going with us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We will not offer our children to Molech.
No.
Hallelujah. We will not. They are going with us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. That is the offering. That is me and my house. My house means your soul, emotion, all those things. That's one dimension. It also includes your children.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
We are going 100%.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
That is the offering. And you know, when Job prayed, he made an offering for the children. Isn't that so?
Yes.
Daily, huh? He will bring an offering. Say, Lord, this is the offering for my children. Peradventure, they have sinned. Hallelujah. I bring them also. So whatever the children were doing was a waste of time. Because someone was praying for them. Someone was making an offering every day. And God looked at the offering and saved the children. Hallelujah. Amen. So we must stand by faith. And make the offering. Hallelujah. You know, so it's an offering of consecration. It's an offering of all that we have, of all that we are. If it even includes our resources. Resources in terms of our mind, our abilities. Hallelujah. Our gifts. Some people will have more gifts in one area than the other. Use it for the body. Hallelujah. Not everybody can preach. Some can do other things. Use it for the gospel. If you know how to speak French, then your French should be used for the gospel. If you can speak Spanish, you use it for the gospel. If you can play music, you use it for the gospel. If you can speak, use it for the gospel. That is consecration. All. It includes the children. The children have a role in the fellowship. They can be life-giving spirits.
Hallelujah.
The children, as small as they are, they know more of the world than you. Some of you think your children don't, anyway, in America it's different because they teach them sex education. They know more than you. Say amen now. They know. So you must teach them. The devil that worries the children, that attacks the small children, is the same that attacks the old people. So we must bring the word of God to them. Hallelujah. They must be part of what we are doing. And it's part of the offering. So we come to God, we say, we bring our children and we are giving you all. Hallelujah. And because we believe the children must also be saved. Now, the fourth offering is the fellowship offering, represented by what they call the meal offering.
Meal,
yeah. Well, both the meal and the meat offering is still the same thing. They all speak of fellowship. How do you make the meal? You make it from grain. Isn't that so? You bring the grain and you grind it together. Those who cook know it's very difficult to grind, isn't it also? That's how it is to fellowship. God brings different brethren from different places, different backgrounds, different understandings, different temperaments, different characters. Hallelujah. Some are from Arizona, some are from Wisconsin, some are from wherever. God brings them to Dubuque. And then he begins to grind. Hallelujah. Sometimes some refuse to be ground. Say, no, I don't want to be ground. But you know what the women do when they are grinding? When they grind, and they're getting tired. They pick out all the ones that have refused to be ground. And then only the ones that have ground have remained. Hallelujah. Say amen now. That is fellowship. Amen. And you know, when you are rubbing against one another, it's not very easy. Hallelujah. It's painful. Hallelujah. But that is your salvation. Your life depends on your brethren. I couldn't be here without my brethren. I've been away from home since October. I have to pay my children's fees. It's the brethren. I said, look, please, can you help me do this and that? If they were not there, I wouldn't be here. Do you understand? My life depends on them. Hallelujah. Now, some of the brethren, you may not like their face. The way they talk, the way they wave their hand, the way they shout. I know one that shouts very well. Do you know him? Okay, I will go there. I know one that shouts very, very well. You may not like his face, but he has brother. You can choose your friends, but you cannot choose your brothers. Amen. You can choose your friend. This is going to be my friend. But tell you what, all the people I chose as my friends ended up not to be friends. All that I loved with my whole heart, they didn't love me back. I was hurt. How can I love these people and they don't love me? God said, you are emotional. In the house of God, there is no emotion. Amen. Hallelujah. Say amen. Amen. In the house of God, there is no place for emotions. Amen. I love this brother. I love that. No place for that. Hallelujah. God will give you brethren that you need. There may be people that don't like their face. You don't like the way they behave. But God says they are your brothers. They watch over your back. Hallelujah. They watch over your back. And those are the ones that we should submit to. Hallelujah. It's called fellowship offering. God will grind you together. When God finishes with that, he puts oil on the ground wheat. What does oil do to the wheat? For the sisters, you know what it is. Oil does one thing.
Brings it together.
Binds it together. Hallelujah. We are bound by one spirit, brethren.
Yeah.
It's so easy. When somebody is not walking in the spirit, you know. It's so easy. You can discern it from a mile. Hallelujah. When there's a wrong attitude, you discern it from a mile. Hallelujah. But when you descend, what do? You pray for your brother. Amen. And if God says bring correction, you bring correction in love. knowing that you also might be in that condition tomorrow. So you are redemptive. You don't bring the correction to destroy. Rather, you bring it to build up. The correction you must bring.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Every word must be judged. Every dream must be judged. Every prophecy must be judged by the word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that's where there is safety.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So this is fellowship offering. You know? And you can't run away from your brethren. Hallelujah. You may want to run. If God loves you, He will bring you back. But if God doesn't love you, what will happen? If God loves you, He brings you back. If you are too rebellious and that you overpower God, then you go your own way. Hallelujah. So there's no place for independence. Hallelujah. So, I mean, it's not a one-man thing. I mean, those are basics. We already know. It's not, God is not building one man. He's building a body. A many-membered body. Without any special characteristics. The only characteristics are those of Christ. Hallelujah. And that's what the oil does. The oil ministers. So, the Spirit of God is in you and in me. Christ is also here personally, even now. Hallelujah. So wherever the body gathers, Christ is there physically. So if the head is here, do you need another head? If Christ is present whenever the church gathers, do you need a pastor? Do you need a chief elder? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you need leaders? Yes. But the leaders must be led by the leader. If not, they are out of order. They are of no use. But you know, it's so easy for the leader eldership to become the social club, a status symbol. I am not an elder. Hallelujah. I've seen it. Hallelujah. You can easily become that, a status symbol. You know? And so the leadership, the eldership, must first be led by the Lord. Then they can be examples for the younger ones. Because there are some who have not yet recognized the voice of the Lord. They don't yet know the way God speaks. So they need those who are matured in hearing God, in obeying God, so that they can look upon them as role models. So nobody can tell you that you don't need leadership in the church. We need it. But that leadership must, first of all, be submitted, be under authority. Say, I am a man under authority.
Amen.
Then I can exercise authority.
Amen.
Amen. So the authority of Christ is not delegated. It's transmitted. Hallelujah. So Christ is here physically. He is the head of the house. Whenever the house gathers, He is there. Hallelujah. So if He is there, then we all are submitted to Christ. So Christ is here physically. Christ is in the body. And then there is the Christ, the man.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So those are the three dimensions of Christ. Christ in you. The Christ in you is not yet, is still being formed. So you cannot worship the Christ in you. Amen.
Amen.
So we have settled that one, isn't it so? So you cannot worship the Christ in your brother because that Christ is still not formed. It's not matured.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But in the body, there is the Christ. The Spirit of Christ is whenever we gather. Hallelujah. Then there is Christ, the man. Jesus Christ, the man, personal. Hallelujah. There are some who say Christ is not coming in the flesh. It's not true. Wherever the body gathers, He will be there. Hallelujah. So Christ is personal about His church. And He is there all the time, shepherding, bringing unto Himself, walking in the midst of the body. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is the fellowship offering. And we all must be relating with Christ, the individual, personal Christ. We must have fellowship with the Lord. And as we fellowship with Him, when we come together, we bring what He has given to us to minister and share one with another. It's not to say everybody must preach. We all can preach. You say, are all preachers, are all teachers, and so on. But we all can minister the Christ that we have. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We can minister and share the experience that we have. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you know you speak, but your voice is not heard? The heart speaks more than what the mouth speaks. Hallelujah. You don't know that? Say amen now. Hallelujah. If you are sensitive, you will know when somebody is speaking. That's how Jesus discerned the thoughts of the people. Hallelujah. So when you gather, if you are sensitive, you will hear the cry of the heart of the people. So the leadership can feel what the people are going through, because you can hear the cry. You can hear the voice. Amen. This is basic. Hallelujah. And if you are sensitive, you know when your brother is hurting, because you can hear. You can feel. Hallelujah. And we should be able to feel one another. Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
If a brother comes to fellowship and he's withdrawn, you should be able to know. You know he's not there. He's physically there, but he's not there. Hallelujah. These are dimensions of fellowship that the church must begin to get into. Hallelujah. You know, we come together, we know who has a word. We don't need to struggle, because you can feel the burden in a man's heart. Say amen now. Hallelujah. When you come together, you know who has the word. Because you can feel the burden. The word speaks, the burden speaks. Hallelujah. So nobody needs to come and fight for, because it's clear who has the anointing. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't need to draw a roster. So if supposing the anointing is only on one man for 1 year, well, we have to do some democracy here, you see. So we should also let other people speak. What's that called? The rebellion of man. So this church must be growing beyond that. So if all the brethren are giving themselves to God and praying for one another, by the time you, even before you gather together, you know who has the word. Those who are ministering in songs, you know the way to go. That is the perfect church. That is the church that God is bringing us to, where we are functioning by a perfect order. The order of the Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We know the word to come. We know the word that's not. And if a man comes and it is not the word of the Lord, you will know. No one will tell you, this is thus says the Lord. When you know, you will say, this is not what God has said. Because you have a witness in you that this is not the word of God. Hallelujah. So these are things that have come in and destroyed fellowships. Because we were not spiritually awake. We were not alert. We were not spiritually sensitive. Hallelujah. If a man comes here with a wrong spirit and begins to say all the right things, hallelujah, those who are matured will be able to feel the wrong spirit. Is it not so? And if they feel the wrong spirit, what will they do? You say, brother, the Lord has not sent you. We love you, but by the word of the Lord has not sent you. You need to be prayed for. And you pray for him, and you set him in his place. You have delivered the soul. But what has happened, that's what part of what Brother Bot was saying, is that because we have lost our sensitivity, a man comes, and every wind of doctrine, we follow every wind of doctrine. Someone comes and says, this is the new anointing we follow. Another one comes and says, this is the new doctrine we go. It's because we are still children. We have not come to that place of maturity. When we come to the place of maturity, we will know the voice of the Lord. Hallelujah. We will know the ministry that He has sent amongst us. And you see, you know, you have the maturity to discern between the precious and the vile. To choose the good and reject. And even in doing that, you do it in a redemptive manner. Hallelujah. Now, this is where we need to excel, because there are many voices that the Lord has not sent. And like Samuel, we anoint whom the Lord has not anointed. Hallelujah. And what has happened is that we anoint such ministries and they begin to bring wild gods. They begin to bring stale bread. Hallelujah. And that has hurt and destroyed many, because we have not walked in the place of maturity. Now, there is no emotion to it. The word of the Lord is the word of the Lord. If my best friend brings a word that is not of God, what will I do? I will say to him, best friend, this word is not from God. Hallelujah. Amen. You say it in love. But we need to do that. Now, if that happens and we begin to play around, then many will be destroyed thereby. You know. So this is the area where the church needs. It's part of the fellowship offering. And then I think it's time, isn't it? Okay, so the last one, I don't think I'll finish it. Maybe
we can another meeting at 6:30.
Yes. Let me just mention the peace offering is the last one. So we will have time to talk about it. Amen. But the peace offering is the most important. It's the offering of the inward parts. You see, when you it's not a sin offering. It's a part of a fellowship offering. But you see, it's an offering where you bring the fat. And you offer the fat to God. Hallelujah. The fat speaks of the treasure of your life. And this is an area that brethren do not want you to go to, because this one has to do with personality. It has to do with family ties. It has to do with, you know, the things that are sensitive. Besetting sins. Weight. Those are the things that, these are the areas that, you know, that borders with the peace offering. The fat. So you must bring the fat and burn it before the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, the fat speaks of strength. In the body, that is where you store energy, isn't it? You burn the glucose, and then the one you don't use, you convert it.
Would that be like all your spirit?
Oh, yeah. It's in that dimension, you know. Of offering, you know, and God told Abraham, you must give me a son. That was a peace offering. Thy only son, the one I have given to you. It took him 25 years to get the son. And then when he got the son, God said, okay, bring that son and offer it to me. And it's an area where many have failed, because it deals with gifts, it deals with callings, this is anointings, it deals with, you know, this is the big time. And God says, give me your heart. You see, Abraham, that son, give it to me. And for Israel, it was a stumbling block. The issue of idolatry. You know, the idols in our lives. God says, you must bring it and offer it to me. Now, when Abraham gave it to God, God said, now.
I know.
Now I know. Hallelujah. It's the final test. You know. And many come to this point and they turn back. So the demand is too much. I am willing to follow God, but this one I am not willing to offer. So this is my very soul. If I offer this one, I'm going to be dead. I'll be useless. I will lose my personality.
Hallelujah.
But God, that's actually what God wants. For you to lose your personality.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I read the story of a Cambridge graduate, first class. God said, you are not going to use your degree. You go to the bush and you become a missionary. A Cambridge graduate, first class in Cambridge. God says, you are going to the bush to be a missionary. You are not going to use your degree. Hallelujah. You know, so, I mean, it borders on different things for different people, but this is the place God is bringing us to. You know, it might be something that you love so much. You know, might be a job, might be a pastor, whatever it is. But God knows, you know. And God is saying, my son, that's what I want. Lay it on the altar. It might be money, it might be comfort. You know, so of course we cannot do away with comfort or security. You know, we must have money. We must have so and so. Some people is their children or their husbands or wives. Hallelujah. Or jobs. And God says, you must give it. Of course, there are other dimensions of it, which maybe we'll talk about tomorrow. But the peace offering is the highest offering. And it's both something that has to do with consecration. It's an offering of thanksgiving. And it's something that we give to God that pleases God. You know, and it is a place to walk in. I learned there was a missionary that came to Nigeria, died. The daughter became a missionary. We met someone. Was telling us that she's now about 80 something, and she's not married. She didn't have any children. She was a missionary right in the bush, and she has so many children now. Hallelujah. They call her Grandma Ruth. Hallelujah. She gave all her life. Her youth was given. Not just missionary work. There are other things, other areas. There are other things. You know, God is requiring, say, look, I'm asking you to give me, you know, this offering. You know, so we must be a people that bring offerings to God. We should not give God anything that is not an offering. And he says, I will not give God anything that will not cost me. If there is no cost to it, there is of no value. Huh? If you give God something that doesn't cost you, then it's of no value. God will not take it. It's how you bring to me what is hot, what is lame, the things you bring for offering are the things that I see, and you bring it to me. God said, I'm not going to take it. God said, I want the best. So say, bring the ram first year without spot. No scurvy. You will examine it. There is no blemish on it. So what we are giving to God must be the best. Hallelujah. Not when we go to spend our life elsewhere, then when there's just a little remaining, you say, God, I'm not offering you myself. God said, I wanted you at the prime of your ability. Hallelujah. The best that you have, God said, bring it and give to me. You know, so I think we will stop at this point. But I think God is calling us to a new work, a new consecration, a new anointing. And it's a place where the anointing, the offering, you know, the anointing is going to come. The anointing comes from the oil, and that's where we'll come to. And there's an anointing coming on the body. But you see, the anointing is on the head, not on the body. I don't know if you get the secret. God is not anointing the body, he's anointing the head. Some of us, we are dry because we are not connected to the head. If you connect to the head, see how lovely it was, like the anointing upon the head of Aaron that ran through his beard down to his skirt. Hallelujah. If you don't have anointing, if you feel dry, it's because you are alone. If you submit to the head, the anointing will flow. You will always be anointed. You will never be dry. Hallelujah. If you are submitted. But if you are alone, God cannot anoint you. The anointing is not on the body, it's on the head. It's the head that identifies the body. Hallelujah. The body can never identify the head. It's the head that identifies the body. Hallelujah. So if you want to be anything in God, then you must be under Christ. If you're under Christ, you will always have life. He says, I am the tree. Ye are the branches. And my Father is the husbandman. That's the tree of life. The tree of life is Christ. The other is that the life comes from the tree and goes to the branches. The branch doesn't have to struggle for life. If you are struggling for life, watch it. Hallelujah. Maybe you are cut off. If you are part of the tree, it is the responsibility of the head to feed the body. Don't you understand? Do you eat with your stomach? Do you know any man that eats with his stomach? You eat with your head. And then the food goes down and nourishes the body. We are dry because we are not in the body. If we are in the body, we will have life. And you don't have to struggle for it. Life will always come to you. He says, look at the beds of the field. Do they plant? Do you know any bed that has a plant, that has a garden? This is peacock farm. To feed all the peacocks, they have their own farm. They neither so. Because God feeds them. Hallelujah. It is the responsibility of God to give life to you. But to receive life from God, you must first of all be submitted to Christ. Hallelujah. It is the responsibility of the Spirit to bring life. He said, out of the belly of him that believeth will flow rivers of living water. He said, this spake he of the Spirit, which they should receive. So if you are not receiving life, then there is a problem. You are not under the head. You are not submitting to Christ. And the Bible says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God. The sons of God are rising on the earth. Hallelujah. This is the time for the sons to be manifested. The sons will be manifested at midnight. When it is difficult to pray, that's when the sons will start praying. When it is difficult to worship God, that's when the sons of God will worship God. Hallelujah. When it is so hard, that's when the sons of God will be arising on the earth. I want to tell you, the sons of God are breaking forth now. Hallelujah. They are breaking through. They are breaking through. Hallelujah. You can be part of that group. Hallelujah. There's a breaking forth. The prophecies that have gone before, now is the time for the manifestation. So how is it that you have spent 40 years waiting for it, and when it is time, you are weak? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the children have come to the bath, and there's no strength. But God will give us strength. Hallelujah. That strength is in the Spirit to be restored to Christ, to come to the place of anointing, to realize that you are the temple, to realize that you must submit to Christ. It is the responsibility of God to nourish you. You are the bride. He will take up the things of me and he will show it to you. He will bring ministry to you. The things, you see, you have an anointing in you that teacheth you all things. You don't need that any should teach you. You have an anointing. Hallelujah. In you. Hallelujah. I said that anointing teaches us all things. Hallelujah. There's no need to complain. What we need to do is to repent. Hallelujah. Let us repent and come back and do the first works. Get back into Christ. And we will begin to receive life. We will begin to enjoy life. Bible said that the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Spirit is receiving and enjoying life because of righteousness. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I just need to stop here, and we believe that the Lord will bless the ministry that has come. Father, we just bless you for the ministry of your Spirit. We thank you for the outpouring of your Spirit. You say you will pour water upon the dry ground. We thank you for the refreshing of your Spirit. We bless you for it, O Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for the word you have given and the rain you have sent to water it. Hallelujah. We pray to bring forth 100-fold. We pray that our hearts will be the right, will be in the right condition to bring forth fruit. That you grant us understanding. And that you make us doers of the word and not only hearers. In the name of Jesus. Amen.